Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Verse 3. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Did you know that your heart has a tablet? Did you know that? Your heart, you can write stuff down in your heart. You could do that every Sunday right here. Verse 4 says, so you will find favor and good success. Somebody say success. Somebody say success. But it says good success in the sight of God and of man. Wait, you mean to tell me we could be successful with God and with man? Yes, you can. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in the men's home. We add that next one. Let's pray. Father, be with us here these next few moments. He that has an ear, let him hear. Let faith arise and let our enemies be scattered. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. We all said, amen. Before you're seated, shake your neighbor's hand and tell them, money is not successful, you are. Then you may be seated. This afternoon, I want to talk to you about finances. I know that in just a little while, we're going to be having a very, very, very good teacher come and speak about finances. But for whatever reason, money, giving, finances, an understanding of material things was the thing that Jesus himself talked about the most. Did you know that? That was the one thing he talked about. That was probably even the one thing that he got questions about the most. It was all about government and finances. That's what he got the most questions about. So if that was the most questions that Jesus himself got about, if that was the thing that he taught about the most, shouldn't it be something that we ourselves, as men and women, should have the understanding the most about? Especially as Christians. See, we come to Christ as Christians, we say, God saved me. But also, don't forget, he sanctified you. See, and you and I are in that process. Many of you right now. See, that's why a lot of times when we see people in a backslidden state, we think that, oh man, they lost their salvation. No, it wasn't necessarily that they lost salvation. They had their salvation, but somewhere along the lines, the pressures of the world got to them, and they couldn't allow Christ's teaching to allow to penetrate their hearts. It got a little bit too difficult for them, so they wanted to be able to go about the culture's way of going about this world. So what's very important here today, I want to teach you and share with you some things financially, because many of us go through so many financial hardships, we don't know what to do. We just think, well, as long as I come to church, God's going to bless me. No, God has already blessed you, and God will bless you, but are you disciplined enough to accept that blessing? See, the children of Israel, they wanted deliverance, they just didn't want discipline. God, deliver me. Take me out of Egypt. God says, okay, I'll take you out. And they say, okay, great. Now I'm going to worship a calf. Wait a second. See, God will deliver you, but can you take the discipline that you need? Tell your neighbor, are you ready for this? Did you know that people are funny when it comes to money? People are funny when it comes to money. I'm talking whether it's a dollar, $100, $1,000, $1,000,000. People are funny when it comes to money. There's a story of Ann Landers. She had an interesting letter that she had written in her column one time. It was from a girl who was writing about her uncle and her aunt. She said, my uncle was the tightest man I'd ever known. All his life, every time he got paid, he took $20 out of his paycheck and put it under his mattress. Then one day he got sick and he was about to die. As he was dying, he said this to his wife, I want you to promise me one thing. Promise what? She asked. I want you to promise me that when I die, you're going to take all the money from under this mattress and you're going to put it in my casket so that I can take it all with me. The girl's letter went on with the story. He died and his wife kept her promise. Wow, it's heavy. She went in and got all the money the day that he died. She took it all and went into the bank and deposited it. Then she wrote out a check and put it in his casket. She gave him all the money that he wanted. That's what she promised. People are funny when it comes to money. Listen, I want you to know something here this afternoon. You can make all the money in the world, but all the money in the world will not fit in that casket. It's not going to fit there. You're not going to be able to take it with you when you die. When you breathe your last breath, how is your legacy going to look? When you breathe your last breath, how is your legacy going to look? Every single one of you are going to leave a legacy, but are you going to leave a legacy of a tightwad? Of a man who was always angry? Of a woman who always wanted to just get hers and keep hers and no one else can have this? Are you going to leave a legacy like that, or are you going to leave a legacy where the Bible says here, write this on the tablet of your heart. Leave a name that is going to be able to last a lifetime. Not just your lifetime, but the lifetimes after you. Here this afternoon, I want to share with you five quick principles that I believe are going to help each and every one of us, myself included, in understanding what it is to be successful in God's eyes and also in man's eyes. You can be successful with man. Did you know that? But not the kind of success that you may think that you watch on TV that is luxurious, but a success that will give you a good name. Are you ready here this morning? Are you ready? Tell your neighbor, are you ready? This is very important. Again, this is a teaching. It's not a preaching, but it's a teaching. But I pray that you would apply this here within your life. Five principles. Somebody say principles. When I said that word principles, some of you just went, oh, man, I don't want to go to the principal's office. Can't stand school. No, you're always in school. Whether it's old school or new school, just stay in school. Amen? Five principles. Number one, the number one principle I want to give to you here this morning when it comes to success in God's eyes and in man's eyes, number one, get out of debt. Get out of debt. Now, some of these principles you may know, but do you understand how to apply these principles? Do you understand how to apply these principles? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. Write this down. It says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. The borrower is slave to the lender. When it comes to slavery, slaves have no options. See, when you are in debt, you don't have options. You must do whatever the master says. Whatever the master says must be done. Why? Because the borrower is servant to the lender. When it comes to being a slave, now this is very important. I'm not talking slavery here in the physical. I'm talking slavery in the spiritual. That money can have its mastery over you. Did you know that? You can be a slave to the money. You can be a slave to the debt. That's why some of you right now, when you look at overtime, you don't look at overtime to save. You look at overtime to be a slave. This is very important. Watch this. This is a principle. Watch this. Because you're having to go into overtime to make up for the hole that you're already in. I told you this is a teaching. It's very important. Now, some of you say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? I got to pay for the car. I'm not talking about that kind of debt. I'm not talking about where you rent, you have to rent, and your mortgage that you pay. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is when you get yourself into a debt or into a place where you want to live luxurious, but you find yourself in slavery. You start living beyond your means. When it comes to slavery, when you read the scriptures, slaves are not very generous people. You will find that those that are slaves, they're not very generous people. It's very hard to be a giver when you are barely getting by. Now, some of you are saying, well, slaves to what? Did you know that even the world system right now makes it very well known that you're a slave? And you're not just a slave to any master. You're a slave to MasterCard. You're a slave to these things. You're a slave to American Distress, right? They got all these different cards that they just kind of, get you. Somebody once called it, they called it not the discovered card, but the discovered bondage card. This thing will get you, and it puts a bondage over your mindset. Let me ask you just one imagination principle here. Imagine yourself that you have no payments. Just think about that right now, right? Put all the payments that you have, maybe your car, your house. Maybe some of you guys got two cars, you got two payments. Maybe your college debt, whatever it might be. Just for a quick moment, just right now, just give me just about 15 seconds. For 15 seconds, you're debt-free. Think about it. Ah. Okay, now let's come back to life. Okay, you got payments. Did you know that the average car payment over 72 months in America is $479? $479, that's the average car payment in America. Now, if you were to take $479 between the ages of 30 to 79 and you invested it into a decent growth stock mutual fund, you would have, at the end of 79 years, $5.6 million. If you were to just put it in a mutual fund, just put it in a regular mutual fund, $479. Think about that. By the time, see, because some of you always talk about leaving a legacy, but it's very difficult to do when you're always being in debt. So for those of you that are here saying, man, I want to get out of debt, then listen, my friend, you must be able to apply the principles to get yourself out of debt. Look, at, I don't want you in bondage any more than the enemy. He's trying his best to keep you in bondage. But I want to make sure that you understand these principles. You need to get out of debt. Tell your neighbor, get out of debt. Tell your neighbor, get out of debt. See, the borrower is truly servant to the lender. The slave is always whining. You know what debt kind of is? Debt is like financial whining. That's what debt is. Oh, man, I got to pay this. Oh, man, I got to do this. Oh, man, I got to do every. You have dreams. Man, I can't wait to do this. Oh, I can't wait to do that. Yeah, but you got to pay the debt first. Oh, man. See, that's why you got to be very careful when it comes to debt. As a matter of fact, some of you have that little plastic card. Some of you need to have plastic surgery. You need to have plastic surgery. You need to go home and you need to look at another principle that I'm about to talk about. And we're going to look at this principle in just a little bit. And according to this principle, you're going to have to go home. And some of you need to have plastic surgery. You got to cut that thing. Tell your neighbor, cut that thing. Now, some of you are like, oh, Pastor, don't be talking about that. I love my card. My card is awesome. Me and my card do everything together. Well, you and your card need to have a spiritual financial divorce. You don't need to be married to that thing. Get rid of that thing. When it comes to debt, and sometimes when you put yourself in debt, I like what one of the preachers once said. He said, sometimes when it comes to debt, we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people you don't even like. That's it. That's the only reason why. Oh, look at the latest thing that I got. Look at what I got. You just want to show off. Be careful if you want to show off, because the enemy understands what he's trying to show you. And he's trying to put you in a place to put you in a bondage type of spirituality. Tell your neighbor, get out of debt. Number two, here's another principle. I'm going to go over these quickly. I could spend all day on a lot of these principles. But number two, act your wage. Act your wage. In other words, live on what you make, not what you don't make. Don't live beyond your means. Be very careful when it comes to living beyond your means. You know what you should do? Learn how to live on less than what you make, right? Don't take the principles of Kanye West. Don't ask him. Learn to live on less than what you make. Did you see what Kanye West did? I think it was last year or the year before. I think he actually put a GoFundMe account to get him out of debt. He wanted all his fans to get him out of debt. You want to know the crazy thing? People did it. People did it. He flaunted his cars. He flaunted his clothes. He flaunted everything in front of everybody and then said, man, I'm in debt. I need you to help me out. People went, okay. Oh, my gosh. See, you and I both need to do, you got to act your wage, not your age. Act your wage. Don't try to look and try to keep up with the Kardashians. There's no need to keep up with them. My friend, you couldn't keep up with them if you tried. There's no need, for those of you that say the Kardashians, what are they? Don't keep up with the Joneses. That's the older saying, keeping up with the Joneses. Look, just be able to act your wage. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20, the Word of God reads, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. In the NIV, it says this, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. In other words, the Bible's saying, Don't spend everything you make. That's foolish. Don't spend everything. You must be able to act your wage. I know some of you, man, I want to go ahead. I can't wait to get that one dream car. When I was a kid, I always wanted this Porsche. I always wanted this Lamborghini. I always wanted this Corvette. Or I always wanted this car. Look at, I know you always wanted that, but your wages say no. No, don't overextend yourself. Oh, but I want one. I really want one. I would be very careful if you want one. Act your wage. See, this is a teaching here this afternoon. I hope that you really catch this here this afternoon. See, the Bible calls it foolish. Now, I don't know about you, but when the Bible refers to things that are foolish, it is a very scary thing. In other words, the Bible's not just calling you a fool just for any reason because you broke something or you missed a turn or you got something that you didn't like it and you returned it back. No. Foolish in the Bible is scary. The Bible says that only a fool says in their heart, there is no God. So when it's referring to foolish things or a fool, it's referring to a scary, destructive path. So you got to be very careful if you are not acting your wage. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. In other words, be content with where you are at. See, financial contentment is one of the most powerful weapons that you can have in your repertoire. Did you know that? Financial contentment, this is very important. You must be financially content with what God has given you. Oh, but I want that extra dress. I want those extra shoes. I want that other suit. I want that extra. I want that extra. I want that extra. Be very careful. We live in a supersize generation. Oh, that is just 49 cents more. What's the big deal? Oh, it's just, that's it. That's no big deal. But that 49 cents turns into $49. That $49 turns into $490. That $490 turns into $4,900. Next thing you know, where did this debt come from? Well, it's because are you acting your wage? Don't live beyond your means. Be content with what God has given you already. Turn to your neighbor and say, act your wage. Number three, and this is the principle that applies with number one. It comes together. This one, it might be a cuss word for some of you. I might cuss, but don't get mad at me. Get on a budget. 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 I know some of you don't want to hear that right now. You're covering your ears. No! I like eating whatever I want, whenever I want. No! Let me ask you a question. If you were to work for you, would you hire you or would you fire you? If your answer is that you would fire you, then you need to change your ways. You need to change your ways. That's the bottom line. You need to change your ways. You need to learn how to get on a budget. Matthew chapter 25, turn with me here. It's very important. Are you guys getting something here this morning? Matthew chapter 25, verse 26. I don't like seeing the people of God in a poverty state. I don't like that. That's why I believe I needed to share this message this morning. Matthew chapter 25, verse 26. We're going to read a few verses. It says, his master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, in verse 27, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. The scripture here, there's a lot of principles even in just these few verses. But the principle that I want to look at here is the principle of taking care of the little things. Taking care of the little things. Don't ever minimize what God has already given you. Some of you, you have a $12 an hour job. Be thankful for that job. So, well, I want 15, I want 20, I want 25. And see, and some of you in your mind, you're like, man, all I got to do is just make a little tweak here and I could be making $25 an hour. You've been thinking like that for a year, but you've been budgeting yourself like you're making 25, but you're only making 12. Be very careful. See, the man here, that's why the master looked at the servant and said, man, you wicked and lazy servant, I gave you something. I gave you $10 an hour. I gave you $12. I gave you something. But because you put no effort into the little I gave you, I'm going to take it from you. Imagine that. Even the small job. See, look it. I don't care if you're flipping burgers. Be thankful that you're flipping burgers. I don't care if you're just typing there. You're just typing away. Man, this is so boring. Be thankful that you're typing. Be thankful in the little that God has given you. Be content. Tell your neighbor, be content. See, this principle here is being content even with the little. See, as a loving father, he's not going to give you things that will harm you or even to those around you. I remember the first car that was given to me when I was young. I got my car and it ran pretty good. It was I think I got it in 1997, but it was a 1987 car, right? But hey, I was thankful. I was like, yeah, I'll take it. All right, this was cool. This was great for me. And I remember I used to try my best to take care of it, and you know, I would clean it. I would do all the stuff at the very beginning. Then as I continued on with my car, I forgot you're supposed to check the oil. I forgot you're supposed to check the fluids. I didn't know that. I just thought, hey, I got myself a car. Well, the thing about it is that because I didn't take care of what I had, it was taken from me. Now, my parents didn't take it from me. The car itself was taken from me because I didn't take care of it. See, what you have, you need to take care of. See, some of you right now, especially in the Bay Area, we have people that live and rent rooms inside a house. In other words, you don't have the house, but you rent a room in the house. Listen, you may not have a house, but you got a room. Take care of your room. Take care of that. Well, it's not my house. What do I care? It's not my car. Who do I care? No. That's yours. Matter of fact, when you step foot in someone else's car for that brief moment, that's your car. Why? Because you can get in an accident in that car. Something can happen to you in that car. That is right now your responsibility. So don't think, well, you're now eating in that car. Well, I'm just going to throw it on the floor. Ain't my car. No, it's yours. For that brief time, it's a part of you. Be faithful in the little. Don't ever think, well, it's not a big deal. No, my friend, it's a very big deal. Even the little things. Somebody say the little things. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Says this. Matter of fact, write it down and even open this Bible to it if you can. It says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person begun to build and wasn't able to finish. See, my friend, what's very important is that you must budget your life's heartbeats. Budget every beat that you have in your heart. I was listening to somebody this morning. They were talking about the average lifespan of a person has a billion heartbeats per lifespan. A billion heartbeats per lifespan. Think about that. Listen, my friend, my prayer is that you would not lose a heartbeat to anything or anyone that doesn't belong to you. But you would budget every heartbeat. Budget every dollar in your life. Every dollar in your life. Now, when you understand that, you understand these principles, it's going to help you understand the blueprints of your life. In other words, the scripture is saying here, nobody wants to build a house and just looks at the plot of land and says, hey, well, let's just put something there and just put some mud and we'll just put it there and put some wood and we'll be all right. No. Every contractor knows that before you get and start building the house, I need a blueprint. So what is it saying? It's saying that your life needs a blueprint. And there is a blueprint for your life. And if you've never seen the blueprint, you're just going to do whenever, however, to whoever comes. And whatever happens, happens. No, my friend, you need a blueprint. If you don't know what a blueprint looks like, kind of looks like this. and it's very good. And when you read it, it'll help you. Some of you are singles right now. You want to know what your husband looks like? Here's a sneak peek. Some of you are single right now. You want to know what your wife looks like? Song of Solomon, right there. Read it. We've been going over, even on our marriage life group, we've been going over the Song of Solomon. There's a lot of good stuff in there. People avoid it. But for those of you that you're married and you want to date your husband, you want to date your wife, there's a lot of good principles in there. You learn how to do that. These are great, great blueprint. See, that's why some of you right now, man, Pastor, I'm going through it. Well, have you been looking at your blueprint? Man, Pastor, I'm struggling. Have you read your blueprint? Have you seen how your house is supposed to look? See, because a lot of times what will happen is you'll go and you'll ask people that have never read a blueprint before. And you'll ask them, hey, what do you think I should do? And you're getting advice from people who have no idea how to build a house. And you're wondering, why is my family crumbling? Why is my finances crumbling? Why is my marriage crumbling? Especially for those of you that are married and you're asking single people for advice, why would you do that? For those of you that you need financial situations and yet you're asking a person that they themselves are drowning in debt and you're asking them for advice, there's a lot of great principles in here on how to get out of debt. There's a lot of things, but you must get on a budget. Tell your neighbor, get on a budget. Number four, almost done right here. Number four, save and invest. Save and invest. When it comes to saving and when it comes to investing, one thing that I've learned is that you can't out-earn stupidity. You can't out-earn that. No matter how stupid you are, if you don't know how to save, then it really doesn't matter. Whether you got $5, $5,000, if you're just stupid with your money, then you're just going to be stupid with your money. You must learn how to invest. Somebody say invest. Now, you got to learn how to invest and save. This is very, very important. Matter of fact, when you learn the principles of tithes and offerings, I'm not going to get too much into that because in a couple weeks, you're going to learn that. You're going to learn the principles of tithes and offerings because a lot of people think, oh, I'll give a tithe. Did you know that the Bible says tithes, plural? Somebody say plural. You got to learn the principle of tithes. But in those tithes, you have to learn how to save and invest. Save and invest. What are you saving for? You got to save for a rainy day. The Bible even talks about being able to save for a rainy day. Why? Because one day, your car is going to break down. Your kid's going to break down. Your wife is going to break down. Something's going to break down. And you got to be ready for those breaks. Are you ready for those breaks? Or if not, you're going to be, oh, man, I don't know what to do. You didn't know what to do. You do know that you're going to have to maintain your car. You're going to have to maintain your house. You're going to have to maintain your children. Your children, they're only 2'2", but eventually they're going to be 5'2". What are you going to do? Oh, man, well, I don't know. Just make your own clothes in the back, son. No, those are your kids. You got to be able to provide for them. You got to be able to take care of them. And if you don't know how to save and invest, what's going to happen is all your prayers are going to be emergency prayers. Every prayer that you ever come to God with is going to be emergency. So when we say, let's come to the altar, you're like, man, I need to come to the altar again. But it's the same prayer that you've been praying for the past 5 years. The same emergency prayer. God, I need a miracle. God, I need a miracle. When it should be, you should be coming and already saving and helping others by now. Not always just about you. Listen, I understand. We come from the neighborhood, and we come from the neighborhood in a place where it tells you, get all you can and can all you get. That's all yours. It's all yours. You got to have that. But when you understand the principle of saving and investing, in other words, it's not just for you, but it's for others. Somebody say others. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20 says, the wise store up choice food and olive oil. You must learn the principles of tithes and offering. Investing in your future. If you can, matter of fact, I would challenge you, learn how to pay cash. If you can, learn how to pay cash. This is something that even right here, I could stay on this principle. We can kind of go on this one for days, but I don't want to stick too long on this. But I want you to understand something. If you can pay cash for it, pay cash for it. Because if not, it's going to get you into a world of debt and a world of hurt that you're not going to be able to understand that world. So if you can, pay cash. Somebody say, pay cash. Number five and the last one, and I'll close with this one, is the principle of giving. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10 says, "Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hands to." Proverbs chapter 11, this is another scripture. I'm giving you a lot of scripture here today. Verse 24 says, "There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And then there is one who withholds what is justly due and yet results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered." He who himself who waters will waters himself be watered. The principle of giving. Somebody say give. Somebody say give. Now this is very important. I believe us as Victory Outreach Heart of the Bay, that we should be a church that is known by what we give, not by what we take in. That's very important to myself and my wife. We want to be known for a church by what we give, not by what we're always taking in, by what we're always getting in here. One thing that we do, we try to do this every year when we have our tithers dessert. We want to get everybody, and we disclose to everybody and everything what comes into our church. We don't keep it to ourselves and say, hey, this is how much we make. This is what comes in. This is where the dollars go. This is what we administer for. This is everything, the administration. And we put everything out in the open. One thing about our church, and you can tell here, we've been here now for over 35 years. You know, we kind of know what we're doing. We've been doing something right for a little while. And the people around have been being blessed. A lot of people ask, how do you guys do that stuff? Where do you guys do that? It comes from God's people. I want you to know something. We don't get government funds. We don't get government funds. There's not a politician or somebody that comes in here and says, hey, I want to bless you guys with $10,000 a month. That'd be great. That'd be awesome. But we don't do that. You know how we are able to bless other people? By the blessings of God that he puts in your life. See, that's how we're able to be a giving church. Somebody say a giving church. There's a story about a young man who was in Bible college. And he says, when I was in Bible college, a tractor trailer load of Tropicana orange juice was dropped off at the cafeteria every week. And he says, I wondered how a low-cost Bible college could afford so much expensive OJ. One morning in chapel, I found out how an older Italian man, in broken English, he gave his testimony. He said that he had come to the U.S. from Italy in the 1920s, as a young teenager with nothing but the clothes on his back. A Christian couple befriended him, and through their love, he came to know Christ as his Lord and Savior. One Sunday in church, this teenage boy prayed, Lord, if you give me an idea for a business, I will be faithful to give a portion of everything I make back to your work. That very morning, the idea of fresh squeezed orange juice popped into his head, and the rest is history. Anthony Rossi founded Tropicana Company and has been faithful to give God not 10% of his income, as many faithful believers do, but he gives 50% of his income for the past 60 years. He also gives truckloads of free orange juice to Christian Bible colleges all throughout the country to this day. He is the founder of the Tropicana Company orange juice. He founded it, and he said, God, if you give me an idea, I'll give it back to you. And he, to this day, gives 50% tithes to God. Also, there's another true story. Back in 1984, Mike and his family belonged to an East Coast church. One Sunday evening, the sermon was on sacrificial offerings, and a special offering was taken at the end of the sermon. The only money Mike had in his wallet was a $50 bill, which was supposed to buy his week's worth of groceries for his wife and his five children and even for himself. However, in a move of faith, Mike put the $50 bill in the offering. Then, after the conclusion of the service, the family went out to the parking lot to go home like they normally would. Within minutes, they joyfully returned to the sanctuary and asked the pastor to come outside and see the miracle. Somewhat skeptical, the pastor accompanied outside with the 20-year-old station wagon. Peering through the windows, he saw that the interior of the vehicle was completely filled with bags of groceries. Happy for the family, he remarked that someone had given them a huge blessing. Mike said, "You don't understand, Pastor. Before service, I made sure that all the windows were rolled up and the doors were locked. I have the only key, so it must have been the Lord. To which the pastor added, giving truly is the only key to God's provision. What is heavy about the story is that Mike had no family living in the area, and no one from the congregation ever had claimed responsibility for this. This was witnessed by the Reverend Robert Costa in Detroit, Michigan. In Psalms chapter 78, verse 25, it says, "Men ate the bread of angels. He sent them all the food that they could eat." Understanding that each and everything that God has given us, we eat the food of angels. See, when you give and you understand what it is to be a giver, you understand that only God can be your provider. You understand that only God can be your provider. Listen to me, this is very important. Your boss is not your provider. Your job is not your provider. You may think it is because your job puts money in your account, but I want you to understand something. God is a God of wonders. God is a God of provision. God is a God of healing. God is a God of power. And everything and anything that I have ever obtained, that you've ever attained, has been through God's provision. And when you understand that, then freely I have received, freely I give. There's nothing that I have that I obtained on my own. Nothing. There's not a piece of clothing. There is not a vehicle. There is not a shoe. There is not a food that I have obtained on my own. Everything has always been God. So when I understand and I live that principle, it's easy for me to be a giver. It should be easy for you to be a giver. See, but if you think, well, I made this. I got this. I worked hard for it. Who gave you the job? Who gave you that job? Who provided that for you? Well, no. It was me. This is mine. I've shared the story before where Corrie Ten Boom says, never hold on to something so tightly that God is going to have to break your hands to get it. Because he could. He could. But you know what Corrie Ten Boom also said? She also said, I have held many things in my hands and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hand, I still possess to this day. Whatever you give to God, you'll still be able to hold on to. See, my prayer here today is that you would leave your legacy unto God. That means all your finances, all your children, all everything. Listen, as a parent, I'm nothing more than a steward of my children. I'm not the authoritative figure. I've already learned. I rebelled against my parents, and my parents were pastors. I took off from home. I wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. And my parents were God-fearing, Jesus-loving people. They loved God, but yet they had a rebellious son. So I've already learned I am not the final authority over my children. You need to learn you're not the final authority over your children. You may think you are. You may think, well, these are my kids. What I tell them, well, one of these days they're going to grow up and they're going to do probably even worse than what you did to your parents. So if you don't understand and you don't get this now, if you don't get these principles now, you need to learn how to give your children unto God. Give your financial plan unto God. No, this is how I'm going to do it. If I do this, everything is going to come together. You could try all you want. You could do all you want. But if you don't learn these principles, it's going to be very difficult to be able to work and live in God's perfect will. God has a perfect will for each and every one of us. But my prayer is that you would let go and let God. This is what I want to do. I want to pray as he comes to the piano right now. I want to pray for those of you here that I understand, listen, we live in the Bay Area. And it's real easy for us to say, man, I'm going through it. I'm struggling. And we go, yeah, I'm struggling. Man, I'm struggling. Then, of course, we get to the place and we look at other stories and we see other people who have no shoes, who have no clothes and every day in their life. And then all of a sudden, it takes our struggle and it kind of takes it away. And we go, man, okay, I'm good. See, the thing about it is that we go through this everyday struggle in our jobs because we compare ourselves to ourselves. And so we think, man, she's got that car, he's got that house, they've got those clothes, they've got this. And so we start comparing ourselves to ourselves, not realizing that God has a plan and a budget just for you. See, my prayer here today is that we would have such blessed congregants, we would have such blessed people, that we would be a blessing church. A church that, of course, is blessed, but we would be a blessing to others. That when you live your life, you would be a blessing to others. that we would not be a church that, man, we're barely making it. Look, and I don't know about you, but I don't like it when you guys even tell me and you tell each other, man, I'm going through it. It's hard right now. That hurts me. Because I don't like seeing you guys in a struggling place. I don't like to be in a struggling place. But believe me, I have had no problems before, and I'll still have no problems getting cereal and putting water in it. Hey, that's how I grew up. No big deal. I share my story about the Entenmann's. I figured about 50 ways how to make an Entenmann sandwich. And Entenmann's are pastries, and they're supposed to be good. But after a little while, I treat it like manna. And like, man, all I got is this manna Entenmann's? But as a kid, I thought like a kid. As a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, hey, it's no big deal. I'm happy for what God has given me. I'm happy for it. If I'm blessed, I'm blessed. If I got new shoes, I got new shoes. If I got old shoes, I got old shoes. At least I got shoes. If I get a new shirt, I get a new shirt. If I have an old shirt, I got an old shirt. Hey, at least I got a shirt. Listen, my friend, don't try to keep up with the Kardashians. That's a race you're going to lose. You're going to lose that race. Keeping up with the Joneses, keeping up with the people that you see. Because it happens. Every day you come into work and they say, hey, man, look what I got. Look what I did. Man, I went on this big old vacation. Oh, it was great, man. Look what I did. Look what I accomplished. Look at I. Never hold on to something so tightly. You guys going to break your hand to get it. If I were you right now, I would just take it and I would give it to God. Whatever bit of finances, well, I don't have that much. You know, they've got 10 talents and he's got 5 talents. I've only got 1 talent. Don't bury it. Don't bury it. If you can, save and invest it. Invest it even now. Turn that 1 into 2. Turn that 2 into 4. Turn that 4 into 8. Turn that 8 into 16 and so on and so on and so on. Watch what can happen. Learn the principles of multiplication. Save it. Get it. Just don't go out spending it. Man, I'll forget it. I don't even care anymore. No. You need to care. You got family that's following you. You got friends that are watching you. You got to be a great investor. Be a person who is a giver. Not whenever they show up to the, whenever you show up to the party or whenever you show up to the occasion, that whenever you come, people hold their wallets, go, oh, man, I don't want to. This guy's always sucking the life out of me. But whenever you show up to the restaurant, whenever you show up to the party, whenever you show up to the place, that you become a blessing. That you're a person that blesses. Now, I'm not saying that you do this all the time, but you got to learn how to work your way into that process to do that. That's my prayer, that every single one of you at any time can turn around in any line and pay for somebody behind them because you've saved and invested and it's in your budget, that you're a blesser. You put in your budget, blesser. You put that in your budget. I'm going to bless somebody this week. Boom. And at any time, the divine moment comes and whoosh, you bless somebody. See, some of you right now, you're still thinking in reverse. You think, man, I'm that person in line. I need them to bless me. One day, you're going to be in the other part of the line. You're going to turn around and say, I want to bless that person. I don't even know who they are, but I just want to be a blessing. Never met them. Doesn't matter. God's put it upon my heart. I want to bless. And then watch what happens. Because you start becoming a giver, God starts giving you even more. Like, man, God, I can't even contain this blessing. Yes, you can. Start being faithful. You were faithful in the little, now be faithful in the much. Here you go. Some of you, I believe, that you're just not going to own one house. You're going to own 2 houses. But you're going to learn how to do it by start learning how to own your room. Learn how to start dealing with your own room. Watch what happens. You'll get the house. So learn how to deal with the house. Get 2 houses. You're going to be an investor. See, some of you here in this place, you're going to have such a great mindset for investment that you're going to be able to bless people like you've never seen before. See, some of you have that hope and you have that dream, but it's like way far off. It's okay. It's way far off. But start with what's in front of you. Start with what's in front of you right now. If you can start with what's in front of you right now, listen, for those of you that are men in the home, God has given you business ideas, but you wasted it because you put that business in your veins. Maybe you drank the business, drank yourself to sleep. I don't know how you did it, but God has still given you a business idea. And don't let anybody ever tell you, well, you're just a no good for nothing, X this and X that. No. You might have did that in your past, but your past does not dictate your future. It doesn't dictate your future. God's got something great for you, but start with the little now. How do you treat it when you have your extras even on your plate? Now, believe me, I was there in the home. I know how it works. UTC, some of you guys said, I can't wait to get his food. No. How about I can't wait to bless him? Just change your mindset. It's the little things. Man, I'm hungry. Look at everybody in that home is hungry. Every single man is hungry. But can you feed those that hunger? Can you feed them? Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. The water I give to you, well, you will never thirst again. But if you go after this well, you're always going to be thirsty. But if you go after the water that I give, you will never be thirsty again. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Let me pray for you here today.